Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, March 29th, 2012. While the concept seems unique, gather together a group of writers and editors who can help coach and mentor other writers develop their craft. That's the idea behind Storywell, started by local novelist, writer, and communication specialist Susan Fish. She's with us tonight to give us the Storywell story. But before we get to Susan, here's a cut from Valiant's soon-to-be-released self-titled CD called It's a New Day that we heard a few months ago in an interview with Valiant member Matthew Green.
Excuses behind in the past. It's a new day and I'm taking my stand. I'm making the choices that last. Old things behind me and all things made new. My failures forgotten, now I'm looking to you. I want to run the race before me with Jesus at the wheel. I want to honor Him completely. No matter how I feel, I want to give my wife and family the man that they deserve. I want to die to selfishness in me. I want to live my I've fallen so often before. Attempts of a life live for me. I know that there's God.
And now to our interview with writer Susan Fish. Good evening, Susan.
Hi there, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Let's talk a little bit about you. And when did you actually begin writing yourself?
I started writing when I was in grade 3. That's when I really dated from. My teacher asked us to write a Christmas story, and I did, and then I was allowed to illustrate it. And the writing was good, the illustration wasn't. And she made it into a bound copy that went to the school library. And then the next time that I sort of have three markers that I look at. That's the first one. The second one was in about 1992 and 1993, and I was working with an organization called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I realized that I was the one and only person whose favorite part of the job was writing prayer letters, because I loved communicating with the people who were my supporters, and I thought that was something to listen to, because it was weird and unusual to enjoy that process. And then after my daughter was born in 2001, is when I started writing fiction. Within a year of her being born, I found myself writing full-length fiction. So those are the three markers of when I started writing.
And so right from the beginning, you were published right off.
The first book, yeah, book was published, yes. Yeah. A lot of rejection and a lot of sending it out again, but yeah, it was published by a Canadian publisher.
Now, who have been your influences along the way?
Well, my most recent influences have been my writers group, but I would say I read and I read and I read, and Madeline L'Engle and Sue Monk Kidd are probably the two published writers who would have the most influence on me. And then an organization that I know you know well, Robert, the Word Guild.
Yes.
I was at a couple of conferences that were really pivotal for me, the Write Canada conferences, where Hugh Cook worked in a fiction intensive with a number of writers, including me, and that was really helpful. And then I think the other person is a U.S. editor who I think is worth his weight in gold, and his name is Andy Meisenheimer. And really, he's helped me. I say it's better than a graduate-level course working with him, because he's helped me develop myself as a fiction writer.
Now, when you look back on it and look at your writing life and that, you've tried a few different styles. You've done fiction. You had Seeker of the Stars, which was your first novel. You've done journalism. I know when I was working back with Christian Week, you were one of my freelancers at one point in time. And you mentioned corporate communications, doing the prayer newsletters for and the organization, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. Is there one particular style that you prefer over the other?
What I like best is telling stories. And so fiction is the writing that I think just brings most delight to my heart, sort of following a story along and telling it. But I also really enjoy profile writing. And so that can be in journalism, and it can also be in corporate writing. But it can be a true story or a factual story, but I or both. But I like getting at the heart of someone's story.
What is it about story that attracts you, that makes you want to put story into words? On paper or on the computer?
I'm wired. I think that's how I'm wired. I think I'm interested in what makes people tick. I think it's the psychology of it. I love just understanding how people make the decisions they do. For a while, I think it was with Christian Week, I was writing profiles that were looking at how people balance their lives, and that fascinates me. But I'm an introvert, but I really like people, and so I think writing about them is a way to bring those two passions together.
Now, looking at it, you started back when you were young, and you're doing it now. What keeps you writing? What makes you want to write?
I think you asked me that question ahead of time, and I'm glad you did, because I didn't think about that. I think it's a desire to communicate. I think that wanting to communicate, and I guess feeling like I have something to say, too. I think that's what keeps me writing. Wanting, it doesn't necessarily need to be something that's published, but something that communicates with someone else. So whether that's a letter, or it could be a full-length published novel or an opinion piece. I think the desire to communicate.
Well, and I know people think it's easy to write, I once heard writing described as sitting in front of a computer and staring at the blank screen until drops of blood start pouring from your forehead. So you're seeing that cursor blinking back at you with a blank page. Is that something you find is writing the act of writing is that something that is difficult for you in terms of getting the right words in the right place on the page?
Sometimes. I think my answer is sometimes. I've been having conversations lately with people about the idea of inspiration, not divine inspiration, but the inspiration to get a story written or the inspiration to make something better. And I think sitting in that chair and with your hands on the keyboard or hand on a pen is you're more likely, if you're trying that inspiration will hit than if you're just walking around saying, oh, I don't know. For the most part, writing isn't that hard for me. At least I say that, but I think it's because I have a lot of joy in it. But so it's hard work. But I realize I'm exhausted by the end of the process. But it's not been something that's been painful for me for the most part. But certainly there are days that are like that, and that goes with the territory. There are stories that are like that. I certainly am familiar with writer's block, and I'm familiar with writing pieces that just don't come together, and the struggle and the challenge of that.
And of course, there's always the rewriting process as well.
I like the rewriting process. I know you write. Do you like the rewriting process?
It depends on how well it's going.
Oh, yeah.
It depends on whether or not when I'm rewriting, all of a sudden I'm looking at it and going, how am I going to say this differently that makes better sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But for me, that's the part. I think it's a really different hat. I think the hat that I wear when I'm writing is one where I try not to self-censor in the sense of saying, well, this is terrible or that's not working. But when I'm editing myself or anybody else, I look at it much more objectively. And it's for me, it's almost, it's not quite like a Sudoku puzzle, but almost like that. But to say, where is this working? Where is it not working? How is this going well, or where am I not articulating this? And having other people come alongside, whether it's a writing group or an editor or that kind of thing, helps me to see my blind spots. But I like the rewriting process now. That's been a learned thing for me, acquired taste.
Well, what I need to do is take a quick break, and when we do, we'll come back with our guest Susan Fish, and we'll actually start talking about the genesis of Storywell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Before the dawn of time, you knew me. exalt you, only the one who died for me so I might live. Creator, mighty King, I am forgiven. Redeemer, Savior, friend, the Holy One. Master, Healer, God's only Son.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Was Created for This, the title track from Carrie Goosey's latest CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Susan Fish. Now, Susan, where did the whole idea of Storywell come from?
Well, it came from 2 years of asking really hard questions about what I was going to do next and figuring out where I felt God was leading me and what, and I think a season of suffering, too. A lot of things going wrong in my family. And out of that, I feel like the idea of this was really born of saying, what is it really that is the next thing for me to do? And what I wanted was to be able to bring 20 years of writing and editing experience together with my experience of writing fiction and reading and reviewing books and working with friends who were writers to make their manuscripts better. So I wasn't sure I was going to be able to pull all those things together. And then it was really quite an aha experience about this time last year, where I said, you know what, this is how this could come together. And it really felt like that was a gift from God to see how that might come together.
So what is Storywell? What's the sort of the Reader's Digest condensed version of Storywell?
The really short version is that Storywell helps you, if you're an individual or an organization, to tell your story well. So the slightly longer version of that is individuals who are writing fiction or memoir or nonfiction, or I've even had people writing medical school applications, want to be able to tell a story, but they may not be able to get at it entirely. And so whether it's through workshops or coaching or editing assistance, what we're offering is someone to come alongside writers or people who are writing for their organization and help them just develop that story, refine it, figure out what they're trying to do, and to tell the story well.
Well, and I guess, you know, that leads to naturally the whole question of why do people need something like that? I mean, you and I have both gone to conferences or been in social situations where we've met someone who, you know, after they, you know, say, you know, well, after I retire, I'm going to become a writer. And we know that there's a lot more to it than just picking up a pen or putting fingers to keyboard. So why was something like Storywell needed?
Well, the thing, I was talking with someone who I'm working with, who's actually a professor, and she says, I know how to tell students to do what I need, but I can't do it myself. And I said to her, dentists don't do their own dentistry. So I think even sometimes someone who is skilled, someone says, oh, I've got a background in English or something like that, or even me, when I do my own writing, I do rely on the help of other people. And I think we do need that because we do have blind spots in what we're doing. So I think that's one answer to that.
Yeah, and we all need editors as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, now looking at Storywell, it's not just you. You're one of the people that's involved with this. Who else is involved with Storywell?
There are about five of us. Erin Bowe is someone who's been in my writers group, and she's a local author who has been really critically acclaimed with her first novel. She's working with me. Her mother-in-law, Pat Bowe, who's also has several published novels, is a stellar proofreader, and so she's working with us. Deborah Black and Carrie Snyder are also Deborah's a local editor, and Carrie's a local writer whose second book has just been published. And Hugh Cook is the other one. Hugh Cook, I referred to earlier, is a fabulous writer and an excellent teacher. And so he's going to be leading some workshops for us, but he also is doing some editing and mentoring. And so I wanted to work with people I knew were really excellent. I've had a number of people approach me since and ask if I have space on the roster for them, and right now I don't, because this is pretty new. But these are really fine people to be associated with.
So what exactly does Storywell do for people?
Well, we're offering master classes, is what we call it. We say they're one of workshops that people can go to, two or three of them coming up. And so the one that's coming up at the end of this month, at the end of March, is on revision. And it's someone who is a Stratford-based writer who spent 10 years writing her first novel, It fell apart. It wasn't working. And so finally she figured out how to really do a really hard revision on it. And so she's going to share both the psychological and practical tips of how to do that. So we're offering that kind of help for people. The other thing we're doing is just straight editing or proofreading. If someone wants to hire us to read through their manuscript or read through a few chapters of their manuscript, we promise an honest answer, pretty quick turnaround, and just that eye to see where the blind spots are, where the things that are working well and the things that aren't working, things that people need to look for. We're also doing some coaching. So if somebody is writing and struggling, it could be by phone, it could be in person. We're doing some working with them for a specific project. So not counseling or anything like that, but certainly walking alongside them and helping them become better at what they do.
Great. Well, what I need to do is take another quick break. And when we do, we'll be right back with our guest, Susan Fish, to finish our conversation about Storywell. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. Arts Connection, you've been listening to New Start to Start from Under Skies by Hark the Herons. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish up our conversation with Susan Fish. Susan, one of the things that caught my attention when I was checking your website and you were talking about sort of the rationale for Storywell, and you mentioned the whole aspect of for some writers, finding that stream of income and that. And one of the things I've been looking at over the last few weeks on Arts Connection is that whole aspect of the economics of art. How, as a writer, how do you find the whole aspect of making a living through writing working for you?
Am I making a living? Is that what you're asking?
Okay, well, that's the question. Are you making a living from writing?
I remember reading a few years ago that the average freelance writer in Canada is making something like $12,000 or $14,000 a year. So that's certainly not enough to make a living. That's the average. I'm making more than that, but it's a decent second income is how I would describe it. So I have the luxury to be able to do that. I also, for me, I distinguish, and I hope I described this well, I distinguish between writing for money and writing that's not for money. And some of the writing that has been for money has been for the best of causes and for not very much money. But that's writing I work with, that I do with clients. And it was a really deliberate decision on my part not to write fiction full-time. First of all, I don't think my family couldn't afford for me to do that, but I also thought it's not a viable or realistic that that we could live off the income that almost anyone in Canada or anywhere makes from writing fiction. So even I have a friend who signed a six-figure contract for a novel. That's a dream come true. That's the same as J.K. Rowling got for the Harry Potter books. But that $100,000 is over the amount of money covers the income that wasn't made in the 3 years of the book being written, the 1 year before the book came out, and then the time until the next few books came out. So even that probably averages out to about $20,000 a year. So it sounds like winning the lottery, but it's a hard go, I think, to be making money from that. But on the other hand, I think that, we've talked about the fact that good editing and good writing is necessary. necessary. And I think that organizations and companies often recognize that. And so I think there is, in working with organizations, whether it's not-for-profit, which is what I often have done, or with for-profit companies, I think a decent amount of money can be made doing that.
But even with not-for-profit, that can also often be a challenge, especially with ministry-based organizations because of the budgets that they have to work with.
That's right. I have found, though, that, yeah, it certainly is at a different scale than the for-profit companies, but I think that people I think, recognize that there is a skill in telling stories, and for nonprofits, that story is told in a way that might make the difference between donors giving money and not giving money. So I think it's an investment, and to be able to tell that story clearly is something that is an asset and a gift. And so I found that even within the budget constraints, there is still some budget for someone to write and edit their stories.
Well, besides the income aspect of Storywell, what do you hope that Storywell will do for writers themselves?
This is a really important part of what Storywell does. And at our first event, we had our launch, and I overheard someone say, "Is this a nonprofit organization?" Because I think what they felt was there was a real service being offered. And to me, that was the highest compliment I could get. And the service that I think she was perceiving and that I hope that we're offering is companionship and working with writers. Writing is a lonely vocation by definition, I think, almost. It's not group work. It's individual work. And I think there's a longing in writers that's a really healthy longing to be heard and to be read and to communicate. And I think even working with an editor or working with a coach or working with peers, we're helping set up some writing groups, helping that desire be fulfilled, helping someone feel received and heard and understood and supported. I think that's something that's a really important part of what we're doing. And I think the other part is it is important that people develop their ability to communicate. And that's rather than saying we're helping you get your story published or we're helping books get better, we're helping the writers tell their stories well. And so one of my other goals is that writers grow in their ability to communicate clearly and to develop their craft as the communicators.
Now, I'm also assuming, too, that there's going to be a benefit to, again, other than the income aspect of it, but a benefit to the people that are involved, the people that are doing the coaching and the mentoring. What are you hoping that they get out of it?
That's a tougher one, because I think it's the tangible part is the income. I think the intangible part is it is a bit like the, I don't know, an apprenticeship and a master. And I think I don't want to call myself a master, but in the sense that there's something satisfying in handing on what has been received. And so I know Malcolm Gladwell says it takes 10,000 hours to become proficient at something, to become excellent at it. And by this point, I probably put in my 10,000 hours, and I hope I'm better than I was at what I do. But to give that kind of encouragement and to help writers grow, I think it's just there's something vocationally satisfying in bringing other people alongside, or emotionally satisfying. So I think that's part of it. I'd just like to see this area and like to see writers grow and become better at what they do.
Well, I think you touched on one important point in there, and I think it goes for both the people that you're helping as well as those who are involved in Storywell as the coaches and mentors, and that's that whole companionship aspect. Writing is lonely. You know, you're sitting by yourself at your computer trying to figure out how you're going to say this, but there's that element of needing people to connect with, and we all strive for that. We found that with the Word Guild and at the Write Canada conferences and events, because all of a sudden we were amongst, you know, 20s and 10s and 20s of hundreds of people that were very much like us.
Mm-hmm.
What's next in terms of going on with Storywell?
We have three workshops coming up this spring. I would like to get the word out so that people know about those workshops, and they're on our website. I'm working with a variety of clients. I'd love to be working with more. I'd love to be getting some work for some of the other people who are working with me. I think we're looking at people have approached me with new ventures and things that might be a fit, and so it's sort of exploding at this point, and I'm really trying to be discerning of what the next steps are. But we want to be working with writers and helping them grow.
Great. You mentioned a website. What's the website so people can get more information?
It's storywell.ca.
And that's ST.
I'm on Twitter these days. I'm working really hard to be on Twitter and on Facebook. There's a Storywell fan page on Facebook. And then on Twitter, my handle is @story_well.
And that's storywell.ca. It's STORYWELL.
That's right.
Great. Susan, thanks very much for your time today.
Not a problem. Thank you so much, Robert. Take care.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Susan Fish. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter @selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.